Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome to the fire.
Welcome to the fire, boys. My name is Parker McDonald.
And I'm Walter Lee, and we'll be your hosts on this episode of the Southern Collective Hunting Podcast. If you're a new hunter trying to learn the basics,
or you're a veteran woodsman just trying to get through your workday, there's always a place at our campfire for you.
Speaking of the fire, we would love it if you guys would join our growing Patreon community and be a part of the best and only digital deer camp south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Come on. If you'd like to learn more, click on the link in the show notes. But for now, Walt,
welcome to the fire. Oh, man. Well, we are giddy with excitement. We have no idea what we're doing here, but welcome everybody to the first episode of the Southern Collective Podcast. I am thrilled I got that far into the sentence, and so I'm going to kick it to you guys. Gentlemen, we have been fooling with mics and trying to perfect this thing. I don't think everybody realizes or appreciates just how much we go through to produce the best audio quality ever seen in the hunting space. I mean, it's a hell of a
poor job of it.
But this is it, fellas. This is it. This is the grand opening. The doors are open. The red ribbon has been cut. If you're listening to this, the website is live. The shop is live. Brett's first self-film video is live. I mean, it's here. We told you guys it was coming, and boys, I am restless at night. I get so excited about this.
Yeah, dude. You know, Matt showed up tonight wearing a shirt that said Gamecocks, and it fired me up. And, you know, I've been excited ever since. we've got this website, man. It's just rolling, and I've spent a lot of time on it. And we've got shirts for sale.
Yep.
On the website. First SoCo shirts went live for pre-order. So everybody needs to go check those out. Again, we spent a lot of time trying to make sure that we got all this stuff put together. And also, it's really hard to prepare all this stuff to launch on the same day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I've been working on websites. We've been trying to put stuff on social media. We're giving away a bow today. There's just a lot of logistical stuff to think about. But the logistical stuff only lasts for so long because deer season is almost here. So I keep reminding myself of that. Like, we launched right now because it's close to deer season. Mm-hmm. So that's something to be super excited about. And I am.
Absolutely.
I am so excited.
This is going to be awesome. Gentlemen, we are joined by two of Alabama's finest deer killers. We've got the Honorable Brett Mashburn and the, I guess, also equally as honorable. Allie Noel.
The Gamecock.
Yeah. I'm on my wife's computer tonight. Oh, you got me there, Walt. That was good.
Yeah. I mean, fellas, you two have been slaving away along with the rest of us to get this thing up and going. I just want to give a shout out to you two for helping carry a lot of the weight on social media and the Patreon group. You guys have been driving the conversation and really pushing a lot of content for us so that, you know, Parker can do his magic. I still have yet to see the magic wand he pulls out of his glove box to make these things like the graphics and the website happen. But, you know, I've been able to focus on a lot of other stuff logistically to get, you know, the shop up and running. But this is one of those moments we're going to be looking back on, and it's going to be like, do y'all remember when we all sat apart from each other in a bunch of random offices fighting with audio equipment? You know, I mean, this is the beginning of something big. So I just want to say thanks for you two for all everything you've done up until this point. I mean, the fall is going to be here quick.
No, it's right around the corner. And Walt, thanks for, you know, having us with doing this. I'm excited. I know Brett's excited. He's grinning right now, ear to ear. And then, you know, we haven't even talked about this yet, but some of us met for the first time last weekend at the World Deer Expo in Birmingham. And if y'all are listening to this and y'all came by and said hi to us or just saw us and didn't say hi, we appreciate that. We appreciate y'all coming up. It means a lot to us. But, Walt, I think you and I met 3 years ago just over social media when I moved to Florida. And, you know, the first time you come up to meet me, it's like, man, we've been trying to do this for 3 years and here we are, you know. So it was a cool thing as a team member when you put four people together to see what kind of chemistry you have. You know, sometimes it's different and you're just like, well, huh. But, you know, this, it may sound cliche, but, you know, we just kind of clicked when we were all there, whether it be, you know, working together to sell saddles or just to tell simple stories. You know, it was a blast in itself. So that encourages me even more about this group and where we're going and what our end goal is and all this.
Yeah, I think, dude, and go ahead, buddy.
Sorry. I was just going to say, like, it's always nice in those shows to get there and see like meet these people, like this scenario you're talking about with y'all two, like that was kind of ridiculous. That's the first time y'all met. But a lot of the people, that's really the opportunity that we have to meet them. You know, you see their names on Facebook or Instagram. They comment on stuff. You talk back and forth with a lot of these people. And so you know who they are when they come up to you. And it's just a lot of fun. Like, I really value the expo. Like, it's fun to go and hang out with people. But any of those shows like that, NWTF is the same way. You just really get to put a face with the name that you see on social media or patron, some of our Patreon, you know, I've met a lot of those. And I wanted to say too, well, you know, as long as we're giving shout outs, like the guys who stopped by the booth, talked to us for a little bit, and then eventually we saw their name show up on Patreon.
Yeah. Like, was that, Jeremy one
that
of them?
Is,
yeah.
Yeah. Jeremy was one of them.
Yeah. He was on today.
Kyle. I know Kyle Huffsteller was one of them as well. And
he's a good buddy.
And you know, that stuff means a whole lot more than anybody ever really. Like, I know it's not a whole lot of money, $10, $5, whatever it is. It's not a lot of money to you, but the fact that you put it towards something that you believe in what we do enough for that, you know, especially considering this is episode 1, you know, you're just going based on what you've seen in past things that we've done. So, man, I really appreciate that. That's a special kind of feeling when you see those names pop up.
Well, along the lines of appreciation, one of the things we talk about, you heard in the intro about being part of the Digital Deer Camp, supporting the show. And I want to echo what Parker's saying, the fact that they take the time to support us. I know you said $10 doesn't mean a lot, but to us, it makes a huge difference because we're able to take that money and put it right directly into the production cost of this show. And there's a lot of those. It doesn't seem like there would be, but the four of us are striving really hard to provide a high quality product for you all. And there's a lot of associated costs that build up over time, and it makes an enormous difference. And so I just want to say thank you again. I've been saying this for years now, but for everybody who stops to support us. It makes an enormous difference. And so one of the things we advertise is that if you sign up for Patreon, you get a shout out on the podcast. And so we're going to highlight some of those new names. So Jeremy Stacey, appreciate you coming to the show. It was awesome to see and get to meet you. In fact, he'd been pinging us on Instagram for a long time now, but we've also got Kyle, Scott Terry, and James Moffitt. We've got a bunch more, but we're going to spread these out over the different episodes so that we don't sit here for a solid 20 minutes just thanking people awkwardly. It'd kind of be like as everybody's filtering out of church and you're like, hey, thanks for coming. Hey, thanks for coming, you know, but I appreciate you guys. And for everybody who's signed up so far, I put a lot of stuff on Patreon. I send a bunch of emails, but sometimes it's just easy to get mixed up. If you're due hats or shirts or any kind of goodies, it's all coming. It's all on order. It's going to be coming in the next couple weeks. We've got koozies. We've got hats. We've got shirts. Is that everything? Stickers. We got stickers coming too because everybody loves stickers. So all that stuff's coming. We're going to get you caught up here soon with all the new merch. So,
yeah.
I just want to ask though, Matt, Brett, that was your first time working a show. Tell me that wasn't one of the coolest things to see people like that kid that came to the booth and was just laser focused. I mean, was that not awesome or what?
He's awesome. I've been seeing some of his stuff he's been posting in and out.
Nate, are y'all talking about Nate?
Yeah.
Nate was a cool guy. The reason that I remember that on Instagram, it's N and then the number 8 ingrained in my memory.
No. We're talking about Turkey Slayer. Turkey Killer and Slayer.
Yeah, that's him. That's him.
That's Nate. Gotcha.
It's first handles Nate and then it goes to Turkey Killing whatever.
Got it. Okay. Yep. I hadn't looked that far, I guess.
Brett,
I feel like that was Brett when Brett was a kid, like just laser beam focused. Didn't care about no girls, didn't care about partying or none of that. He said, I just want to kill a deer.
Brett, how many people you think you put a saddle on last weekend?
Wow. It's a pretty good bit. I don't even think I could begin to put a number on it. The expo was awesome, getting to meet different people. What?
I said that's deep. Deep thoughts. Brett, I noticed, like whenever the first time I ever got to do a show and like people kind of you see their eyes like open up, like you get to be a part of the moment or like, oh, I understand why people are hunting from one of these crazy looking things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Get to have a lot of those moments where you got to be a part of that.
Yeah, for sure. And other people are asking the advantages of it and kind of give my spiel somewhat of how I use the saddle and how I was skeptical beforehand. But after hunting in them for 3 to 4 years now, just seeing how you can use a tree to your advantage to hide from a deer and just cover your movements for bow hunting. And I wouldn't bow hunt at anything else elevated.
It's cool, man. I remember that moment. I remember those moments first couple times. And honestly, it's still fun now. I get that part doesn't really ever get old. Seeing people, you know, just kind of open up to it. You know, it's like they've been seeing stuff on the internet. They've been seeing stuff all over the place and it really kind of looks daunting. Right. But they learn it then.
Yeah, it's not at all. I used to think, why would I want to be in this and sticking way outside of a tree? But, you know, when you're going in and have an idea where the deer are coming from, you can really put that tree between you and them and just hide from them.
I had a group of people come up and, you know, I was guilty. When saddles first came out, I was like, I'm not going to hunt out of a dang tree diaper. Not going to do it. And I actually had a guy come up and be like, man, you've come a long way from hating saddles in your original videos. Now you hunt out of saddles. It's pretty cool. And we got talking back and forth. But then another, like a friend group came up. You know how they are at the expo. They kind of have their little packs and they come around. Well, this one guy's like, man, I love your saddles. And all of his friends were just giving him such a hard time about, why would you hunt out of that? I ended up getting every single one of his friends in a saddle and they all left with a different, they were like, that's man, awesome. I understand it now. And it's like you said, Brett, like, it's just neat to see people who've never really thought of it, they had the opportunity to actually try it. And I mean, it's not like these are in your academy, you know, box stores where you can just try it out. You got to go to a show to see it.
Yep, exactly. A little fun backstory is back when I first started thinking about saddle hunting, I had been messaging Parker about it, about different things about it. And he encouraged me to go to, what's it, the Teach and Train or something. The closest one there was just happened to be Tallahassee, which is end up how I end up meeting Walter mm-hmm. and Chase in the first place. Was going to try on saddles that. And all. Yep.
I didn't know that. That's neat.
Yep.
Yeah. So. No, he showed up. You had your then girlfriend with you too.
And my wife.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Your wife now. Yeah. And I mean, it's funny how something like that can bring so many people together. And I think that's the cool thing about what we're doing here is it's always about the community. The hunting community is small, but it feels distant in a lot of instances. And yet we got to go to that show and be part of that community. You had all people from everywhere. We had people from South Florida that drove up to that show, or Central Florida. We had people driving down from Tennessee and Kentucky to be there. And it just to be able to, I mean, people would come up and you had, just like we did, they had these conceptions. It's hard to figure out and conceptualize what a saddle's like until you're in it. You have an idea, but it never really meets reality, in my opinion. It never did. And I mean, you have guys come on, I'm too big for a saddle.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's your waist size? He's like 40. It's like, son, you only got 4 inches on me. What you talking about? He's like, you're not 36. I'm like, I'm a 36. Put the saddle on, put the XL on. He sits back and he goes, oh, this is comfy. I was like, yeah, and you got it all the way up on your daggum kidneys, man. Get it down on your butt where it belongs, yeah. You know, like it only gets better from here. And you just get to interact with these people that have that same hyper focus that you have, that you go through your day-to-day life. You go to the office, you go to the gas station. Maybe they're a saddle hunter, they're not. You don't know, but you're there and everyone around you is just super interested in deer hunting and hunting from a saddle. I think my favorite part of the whole show was a guy came up and he's like, hey man, I really like your content. I'm like, oh, that's awesome, man. And that's, I swear to God, every time that happens to me, it's just like this beautiful little like butterfly in your chest. You just get so excited. He goes, yeah, man, that white turkey you killed, man, it just sent me. And I went, that's him right there.
That guy.
He goes, what? I said, I'm not Parker, man. That's Parker right there. He's the guy that killed the farm bird. He goes, oh yeah, man, that's him. I said, yeah, yeah. He goes, okay. And he walks right over to you and talks to you. And I just walked off. I was like, man, the hell? We don't even look the same.
We really don't, dude. Like, I'm covered in tattoos. Like, that's the first giveaway.
Ain't got a big red beard either.
I don't have a big red beard at all. But in a lot of the videos from the fall, I do end up with a pretty large beard because.
Mm-hmm. Well, you start cutting design. You start like cutting weird designs in your beard.
Nah, bro. I'm just.
Yeah, you get like these kill patterns.
Yeah,
kill patterns. Is that what
yeah,
that,
dude,
you know what like, that is? I'll tell you what that is. It's kind of weird. You know, some people bite their nails. Or whatever, like they got like nervous ticks. I'll sit there. If you ever watch me and I'm focused, like really focused. So like if I'm working, I'll sit there and I'll just pull up my beard like that. I'll like pop a hole in it. Easy. Like I'll just sit there and do that and it'll just pull a hole in it. Yeah.
Never weird heard such.
You never, I've actually right, looked it up. I've looked it up on the internet multiple times. Like what's going on? Do I have a handicap? Like, is there a problem with me?
It's got beard rot.
It's not yet.
It's got beard rot.
Beard rot. No, dude, and I'll get that way every once in a while, and I'll just like, you know, screw it.
Check Parker, can you in this upcoming season, turkey season, at some point when it's your face and you're missing a patch, can you freeze frame it, point an arrow at it, and put just direct it as beard rot?
Beard rot. They got beard rot.
Oh,
it ain't a Jake. I ain't no Jake. I just got beard rot.
It was a hard winter.
It was a harsh winter in the swamp. Hey, we told people that we're going to give away a bow in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have the bow? Did you guys pick that up?
I thought that was Brett. Brett was supposed to pick it up.
Yeah, I got it right here.
No, we're going to give away a sweet bow. I want to tell everybody about something with that bow that we just confirmed, and that is going to be some custom strings by Second to None bow strings.
Hot dog.
Come on.
What? What did you say, Brett? What was that?
Why, hello, come on.
Cam, it's one of those things where I find myself I find myself driving in the truck. Like, I wonder if I can say that like Brett does. Cam out? Is it like, do it again, Brett?
Cam out?
Cam out?
You do it, Walt?
Cam out?
It's lacking. Do it again, Brett.
Cam out?
You gotta have that crap-eating grin when he does it. Like I think about it anytime I hear it.
Come on,
talking outside your mouth.
But we're gonna give away a brand new, not brand new. It's a used, lightly used CP28 from Bowtech. We're gonna give that away today. It's gonna have a brand new set of custom strings from Second to None. It's gonna be tuned by a bow wizard, Mr. Jared McNeil. Got it in his possession right now, just waiting on the winner to give him their specs. You are going to be able to choose the color of the strings that you get on this bow. It's got a Pro Hunter HD sight from Black Gold.
Wow.
It's got a Ripcord Max IMS, which the IMS system in the Bowtech line is freaking legit. It's like the integrated mount system. So it sits like perfectly centered. It's freaking cool as crap. Shift lock, a tight spot shift lock quiver. Man, what else has it got? I mean, it's loaded, dude. It's a sweet bow.
Stabilizer.
And somebody's going to win it. Yeah, it'll have an octane stabilizer on it. So, yeah, dude, I'm excited about giving away. But I don't think we're going to do that right now. Let's do it at the end. Does that sound good?
Yeah, screw you, Chris. Perfect.
He's like, dang it.
Bold predictions, fellas. Bold predictions. We just want to give people time to think about, you know, what color bow strings they want to put on their new bow. Give them an hour, you know, a good hour, 45 minutes or so, to really think about. We are gonna trust that these guys are not just gonna fast forward all the way to the end.
In fact, we're not going to do it at the end. We're going to do it at some random point in the middle of the bold predictions. We're not going to tell you where it is.
Let's do that. I like that idea. So you at least have to listen to our bull crap.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So here's the rules. I don't make them. I just enforce them. For the bold predictions, you have to have one bold prediction for yourself and one bold prediction for another team member. Now, I texted y'all this in advance, so you should have everything right there, hot and handy. And ready. So, Allie, I'm looking at you. You get to go first.
I can't take that serious. God, my name is Matthew. Matthew Reeves, if y'all didn't know. That's my wife. Okay, bold predictions.
Your wife, Matt Reeves?
Do we want to talk about what states we're going to hunt before our bold predictions, like kind of wrap that in together?
I think that's a great idea. Let's push the bow giveaway out even further. Let's talk about where we're going this year.
I don't want to stump that, but we can wrap it in with our deal, because mine's kind of in that two together.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So start off with where you're hunting and then wrap it up with your bold predictions. I like that.
So I'm hunting Alabama, Florida, and Kentucky, this year, home state Alabama. We'll do our hunt together down in Florida, and then I'll be in Kentucky for the opener. Did a lot of scouting up there, so got a lot of hope in that. So for my bold predictions, so for myself, I think I'm going to kill a deer 125 or better this year.
Whoa.
On public.
Going score? We predicting scores?
It has to be bold.
It is bold, man.
What I'm going with. So that would be... You know, and that's probably going to be with a bow, too. So, 125 with a bow. I'm shooting for Kentucky on a good one.
All right, Matt, I got a question for you. Last year was tough. Last year was, I got the question. The question that I asked Walt whenever Walt decided last year in just his absolute misery to challenge me to a duel.
And now we're here.
And now we're
challenge
here.
Challenge me,
hey,
too.
You got your ad, buddy. You got my podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Instead of getting, so we
you
had
got my pink slip.
Me and Walter, Elite. This is a long story, Matt. I do have a question for you about your both.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. I'm like,
long way around getting to it. Walter last year decided that because I was having such a tough season and he's just a good friend, he decided to challenge me to see who could kill the biggest buck of the season out of the two of us. And I was like, I mean, we can't. And granted, I was having a really bad time, but I had confidence that my bad time in Alabama was going to beat Walter's good time in Florida. And Walter at that point, I want to say at some point he would have had to, it was once I killed that buck during the rut, the one that I shot running. I was like, you're almost Walt going to have to like get your PB. I don't know how you intend. Like, you're still so confident about this, but you'll literally have to shoot your biggest buck. So, Matt, your bold prediction involves killing the biggest buck you've ever killed with a bow. I don't know if that would be, I don't know what your biggest buck ever is.
Yeah.
But I know it'd be the biggest buck you've ever killed with your bow. What makes you so confident? I mean, that's a pretty big
bold,
jump right there.
Bold, not confident. Bold.
Okay. So, is it, so in the church world, we would call it prophetic. That seems more like what you're doing.
Let me change seating position so I can get ready for this. No, so I had a tough year last year. You know, struggled here and there. I was on deer. I just could never execute it. I have a lot of history with a lot of deer from last year that I know kind of their patterns this year in Alabama. I've got some really big deer in Alabama that I can chase, and I know kind of, you know, what they're doing and what they should be doing. Whether they do that or not, I don't know. You know, I said public. I do have some really good deer on my private properties that I'm going to have chances at this year. And they're all going to be good deer, you know, over 100-inch deer. So that's that. And then I'm going to spend a lot of time in Kentucky this year because I think my odds of killing that quality deer are up. And from what I ran into last year with my first year hunting Kentucky, I feel like my odds are going to be better this year for sure.
Great answer, man. Really solid answer.
And then I got to thinking about this too. I want my numbers on deer to go up, so I want to kill 5 does with my bow.
That's what I like to hear.
That's what.
If she blows, she goes.
Man, look, that first weekend, I'm coming with a vengeance. Like it's. Man,
coming with your Gamecock shirt on?
Gamecock, ready to spar. It's going. Got my knives hooked on my legs. We're ready to fight.
Speaking of knives, here's a perfect spot for an ad for Join or Die Knives. Me and Walt talked about how to get the ads for these for our partners in like organically, and so I'm really making an effort for that. So here's an absolutely organic approach.
Parker, what's your favorite knife from Join or Die?
I really like the Rimfire Fieldmate. Without a doubt, that little joker right there, the Rimfire Fieldmate. I like Packable. I like stuff that's not going to take up a ton of room in my pack, but also makes a whole lot of sense. And the Rimfire Fieldmate's that for me. I mean, I can put it, I kept it in my turkey vest pretty much the whole season. Once I got it, I kept it in my turkey vest because it wasn't inconvenient to carry. If I were a knife carrier, right? Like I don't carry a knife every day. I just don't, I never have. But if I were, that would probably be the one that I would choose as well, just because it's so small and still practical. You know, the craftsmanship of the knife is what's absolutely incredible to me with these Join or Die knives. Is like when you get it, Matt's looking at his right now. I can see him. and like you look at the fine details of the craftsmanship and you're like, holy cow, this is not a buck knife. You know, this is not a knife you get at Academy, right? Or your sporting goods store. Like some guy sweated over this knife and got it to perfection. And it's a sweet deal. And, you know, we did an episode with them on Southern Ground not too terribly long ago, and got to hear the story of them. I think we're gonna have to do that on this podcast as well, because the story behind the whole company is really cool, and just hearing the guys the passion they have behind making knives, outstanding. So back to the show, Matt.
welcome back.
I like that answer, dude, because it's I think it's realistic, right? Like you've been hunting Alabama and Florida and Georgia. Realistically, you had encounters in Kentucky last year with some nice bucks in the few days that you were there.
Yeah, so we're gonna try to just piggyback off that for this year. And I've got cameras there right now kind of telling me, you know, where the deer are. I've put in the scouting time, put in the work. So hopefully that all pays off. You know, you can't, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. I can go there and it all fall apart, but we'll see. But yeah, so that's for me personally. So the person I chose for my bold prediction is Mr. Walter Lee.
God dang it. I knew it too. Here we go.
And just cause you're going to like this. You're going to like this one. It has nothing to do with your home or anything like that, but you're going to come to Alabama and you're going to kill a buck 80 inches or better. That's my bold prediction.
I like it. I could totally see that happening. And I have 80 inch deer in Alabama.
I think it's very doable. You just got to come here, okay? That's the hardest part of this whole thing is you just got to come here.
I will be there. I've already built my whole off season around making sure I'm going to be there. I got new hubs coming for the trailer. I've put in my PTO request. I'm putting on my wife's calendar, my wife's backup calendar, her work calendar. There's no getting around it because I'm picking Brett up on the way. And we're going to come up there and kill all y'all's Florida deer.
You heard it. You heard it here. He said he's coming, Brett.
Come on. I got it locked in. I got the dates on the calendar and everything.
He says,
somebody's going to get sick.
Dude, why would you put that on me like that, too? Every time I make plans, like right now, my wife's in the other room hacking up a lung, and my son's in the other room with a low-grade fever. I keep looking over here because he keeps moving around in his crib. I'm like, dude, I'm going to have to go in there and get that joker. But every time I make plans, here's what happens. Either somebody gets sick or it's like 80 degrees and raining every time.
Yeah. That's what happens.
The deer don't move when it's 80 degrees and raining. That's the problem.
Only on the blood moon. They only move if it's the blood moon.
A family member of mine always goes to the hospital when I start to go out of town. And that's the truth. You can ask anybody. Something happens.
Who's up next? Whose bold prediction is next?
Say we let Walt go, just in case.
I was about to say, I called Matt out. Yeah. So my bold prediction for me is that I'm going to kill two deer over 80 inches this year.
Inch predictions here. Yep. I'm noticing a trend.
Are you going hunting at?
Well, your place and then first. The Patreon members would tell you I'd be hunting your pens.
Which isn't true.
I know. They really try and get under my skin about that, though, don't they?
Now, that one buck you did kill is a spot that I handpicked. Because in our scouting video, you said, all right, Brett's promised me nothing but.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, whatever you said, something crazy, like 100-inch deer back here. But
yeah.
I mean, we'll settle with a crippled up 6-point that I ran over on the way in that morning.
So, in case you're part of Southern Crown, you don't know this story. Last year on opening day, I get into this spot, and as I'm walking up the bank out of the water, I look over and I see a dead deer, and I'm like, what in the hell? So I look over there and I shine my light, and I realize the rack is sitting perfectly straight up, and then the ear moves back. I'm like, that's not a dead deer. And so I'm like, well, I've already blown it because I'm 20 feet from this deer. I'm going to get my phone out and record this deer, and I'm going to put it in the polo group and show everybody. And let's just see how close this deer will let me get. When I tell you I got so close to that deer, I started doing the mental arithmetic that there was water all around him and the only way out was me. That's when I got wigged out and I backed up to the tree. I scaled a cypress tree next to this deer. He sat down there looking at me periodically. And the whole time I'm thinking I'm going crazy. And it's not until this deer moves about every 10 minutes that I start truly believing this thing's alive, not just dead. And I'm making it up in my head. Joker sits there for 45 minutes. The sun comes up. I shoot him stone cold dead. Turns out he's missing 3 of his 4 feet and his neck is permanently fused in like an S pattern where he had clearly been ran over by a car at some point that year. We affectionately call that one the Cripple Creek Buck.
The funny thing to the story is, true story, that morning on the way up there, I run over a deer around this exact same area. And I never seen the deer because it come up out of the ditch and hit the back of my truck right at my back tire.
Yeah.
And I turned around and looked, and there was no deer there. And it was, I mean, I doubt it was the same deer, but it was just funny. It was in general area, so we all joked that I ran over the deer and send him down there to kill it.
That's what we call. Never mind. That's a southern deer drive right there. That's what that is.
Teamwork.
All right,
You're gonna kill 2 deer over 80 inches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prediction.
I think I was within a whisker of beating you last year with a buck that I saw. And I was within a whisker of staying and killing that big 8-point that I had, which would have crushed 80 inches comfortably. So I'm in the zone hunting Brett's pins.
Parker was just a whisker away from killing one bigger than that, I think.
Dude, he's always a whisker away from killing a big one, though. That's the thing. That's partly why I challenged him. I was like, here he is having a down year. This is my only chance to be king of the mountain. But so here's the funny thing.
AR-15er.
Dude, no, we need deer in the woods. you give Parker a semi-automatic platform. I almost name dropped a place. That place is never going to be the same. There's not going to be a single deer left living. He's just going to hear rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat on the mountainside every morning. He's just going to be waylaying stuff. Maybe not now that he's got cell cams.
I have, killed one of my bigger bucks actually here at home with AR. Not one of my bigger ones. I'd say one of the more mature deer. I shot with him with an AR and it was similar.
I
shot him like five times.
Hey,
like perfect shots. I will say this was a bull of a buck. Like, he was a good one.
240 as 250
his body size. Yeah. I mean, you know, you're looking at in Alabama, I would say after he was gutted, I want to say he went like he was in the 200 somewhere.
God dang.
After gutted. He's a big buck, man. He's a big deer.
2 or 3Cripple Creek bucks right there.
But it took like he never got out of sight. I shot him 5 times perfectly in the shoulder and he stayed standing all those times.
Really?
Until that last one. That last one he finally fell over. But anyways.
I didn't even talk about where I'm going. I guess I let the cat out of the bag. I'm going to be hunting Georgia, Florida, and Alabama this year. Those are going to be my big 3. And, you know, it'd be really cool if I killed a buck in all 3 of those this year, like a good rack buck. That would be a hell of a season. But my bold prediction, people are going to think I like playing this out with Matt. It's actually for Matt.
No.
He's had all these big deer on camera. My bold prediction, and this is a bold one. I'm not confident in this at all. I have this inkling. I just have this feeling. Whenever you struggle, Tutal say this all the time in the podcast, whenever you have a down year, the next year is your upswing year. And you had a really rough year last year. And so I'm saying you're going to kill a 140, the opening hunt in Kentucky, opening day.
Ooh.
Wow.
I'll take it. Let's do it. I'm going to start studying my map a little bit more now.
A hand to God, if I get a bloody arrow on opening day in Kentucky, I'm going to fall out wherever I am. I'm just going to be like, you got to be kidding. Because you'll be hunting. I won't.
Yeah.
Matt will be on Dope Patrol too, I believe, on opening day.
Anything
patrol.
Yeah, you shoot any doe with 140 in your set.
We'll get it.
All right,
Matt. I know where one is.
Do you? Do you know where 140 is?
Oh, yeah.
How many 140s do you think you've seen on the hoof? Open question. Has anybody on the hoof seen a 140 in the Deep South, not Texas?
Like, are you like, does Kentucky and Illinois count?
I guess if you call it the Deep South, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say 5 or 6.
Dadgum.
I don't know if I'd call Kentucky the Deep South. Not when we're talking about deer.
Now, if we're going to talk about Alabama, maybe 2.
Matt, how many, or God dang it, I keep trying to say Brett, and I keep saying Matt. Brett, how many 140s have you seen in Alabama?
To be honest with you, none that I can think of.
They just don't exist down here. That's why we go out to the Midwest and slaughter them.
Are you talking about anywhere, like driving down the road?
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it.
I'm always thinking while I'm hunting.
Yeah. I've seen in Georgia, I've seen a couple that look like they had rocking chairs going. I was going up I-75 towards Atlanta. I was just south of Macon. There's this little field that's just got this little gentle rise next to the highway. And I look over to my left and there's this doe. And I swear to God, she was running 70 miles an hour because it felt like she was just staying right there with me. And behind her was this monster of a buck. I mean, just I about wrecked the car. He was so big, probably close to 60 or 70 inches. And I think that's the biggest deer I've ever seen. So I was just curious.
Yeah, good job.
All right, Brett, where are you hunting and what are your bold predictions?
So, I'm hunting Alabama, Florida, Missouri, and possibly another state that I thought for sure I was going to, but now it's turned into a possibly, which is Tennessee. That's my 4. So, we're going. Before my bold predictions, I wanted to say the same way that you try to motivate Parker and when he was down, I made a bet with Walt before season to try to get him motivated to go to get in the woods and let's go hunting, and made a bet to see who could kill a buck from the ground.
100 inches with a bow and, yep.
No, with a bow and arrow. On public land, on film, yep. Where you can see the shot clearly.
Primary camera angle. Yep.
Yep. That's and the loser had to wear
a lot of variables.
And the loser had to wear a clown costume or
Santa costume.
Yeah. Either one. And he still haven't.
I got it. I've got it yet. Right there. And the first moment it's cold weather and we're hunting together, I'm going to wear it. I got you, fam.
Patreon hunt.
There you go. Man, can you imagine how viral YouTube's going to go if I end up killing that big 10 point, big 8, 10 point, whatever it turns out to be this year, wearing a Santa outfit? Like, I'm going to be hanging tree redacted, dude. Like, they're going to lose their gourd.
Be the talk of the Soch.
Yeah, be the most fame I ever get in my entire life.
followed by the time when you took the nude saddle photo.
I've forgotten that.
Second most famous time of your life.
Yeah, that got me a free Predator XL, I think.
That's what I'm talking about.
Is that with you when you were walking?
No, dude, I hung from the backyard. I hung from the saddle in my Kiss Me, I'm Irish boxers from the I think it was the Manus back then.
Yeah. I think Tether did like a photo contest or something like that.
Yep.
And then the world got to see.
Okay, weird little anecdote. I think I won a contest from a different saddle company. I'm not going to name them, but they asked what the weirdest encounter you've ever had on public land, and we'll send you a $500 gift card. And I commented the hippies throwing poop from the tree story. And And you could just tell by the way they commented and the way they commented on everybody else's, they knew that I was supposed to get that $500 gift card, but I'm affiliated with Tethered. So I just boosted their algorithm. So I don't know. Me and weird stories and weird things, the saddle companies just seem to just keep popping up. I told you that story, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know the story.
I don't know if I ever told you that. I got to go take a picture of the hammock and send it to them so they know I'm not kidding. There's still tattered hammocks up in the tree.
Brett, what's your bold prediction for yourself?
So my bold predictions aren't going to be very bold to most, but to me, they're going to be bold. So it's kind of a two-parter, but all in one. My bold prediction is I'm going to actually get out and hunt 14 days this year and kill one nice buck. Because if most of y'all don't know, I have a boy that's due September the 19th. So that's going to put a damper on deer season. Not sure exactly what that's going to look like. The only thing I do know is the wife said I was still going to go hunting. And everybody heard it. And I'm going to remind her of that every chance I get. But we'll see. And
what's a nice?
It's funny.
You're not going to put an inch. You're not going to put an inch.
Yeah. I mean, I can't. I mean, so for me personally, my goal is always to shoot 3.5 or older buck, and typically that's around 100-inch mark. It could be 90. You know, in the 90s to 100-inch for 3.5-year old here in South Alabama.
Okay.
So I'd say around 100 inches or better.
So you don't necessarily this year have any bold predictions that you're going to like shoot your biggest buck ever or anything like that. It's just that you're going to have less time to hunt and you're still going to
get But I'm still going to get one buck down.
Okay.
I mean, to me, that's bold because some people would tell you, you might not get to hunt, but 3 or 4 days.
Yep. So before you get to your next bold prediction, we got another pause. Sorry, Chris. Matt, what is your favorite non-saddle related product that Tethered makes?
Backpack.
That fast pack?
Yeah, the fast pack. 100%. It's sweet.
Brett, what about yours?
A non-saddle item?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So organic, Walter. It's just...
I mean, that would be my first impression is a fastback too, but that's made for saddle hunting, which everything Tether makes is for saddle hunting. So it's kind of
a hard question. That's what the fastback stands for. We're all saddle hunters.
Is that what it stands for?
Yeah.
Does it really?
I mean, it took me forever to understand what sis and hiss.
I got that all wrong. I kept saying hiss, not sis.
Well, there is both. There's both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. One's haulier and one's storier.
Yeah.
Yep. Store your stuff, I think is what they meant.
I had a guy ask me about the different models we have. He asked me if we had a FA and a BA model. And with this being my first show, I was really trying to like know all the products so that I could answer questions. And so I'm standing there looking at this man, like thinking as hard as I can, like, what's the FA and the BA model? And he started grinning and he goes, you know, the fat ass and the big ass model. And I use that the rest of the day.
That's awesome.
Oh man. All right, Brett, what's your bold prediction for one other team member?
So for one other team member, which everybody's jumped on him already, which was Matt, because I got to spend a lot of time with him at the expo, and he showed me all 35 of his 100-inch or better bucks he had on camera.
So, I'm good at that. I just can't kill him.
Yeah, and he's picking my brain a little bit about a certain spot, and I think that deer's pretty much had if he wants it bad enough. We'll see. But my prediction is Matt's going to kill $2, 120 or better.
Dadgum.
Oh.
And one of them's going to be with a bow. That was my prediction.
Dang. I hope these come true, guys. I really appreciate it.
My goodness.
We hope they do, too.
Crap, I was going to do Matt, too, but now I got to come up with something off the, off the dang cuff.
All right, while you come up off the cuff, I'll summarize everything real quick. So Matt said he's going to kill a 125 or bigger with a bow. I'm going to kill an 80-inch deer. Very bold prediction. Brett says he's going to hunt 14 days this year and kill at least one buck between 90 and 100 inches. And that Matt is going to kill two 120s, one of which with a bow. Parker, we haven't got to you yet. And I said I'm going to kill two over 80. And Matt's going to kill a 140 on opening day in Kentucky.
Matt, you got like a 140. You got two 120s.
Hey, one, two, three, four. He's got four over 100 spot. Inches.
Just give me a little fork toward you. I'll be happy.
You better get your boots out.
Yeah. You got some work somewhere to do, brother.
I'm going to go start shooting in the dark. I'll see you in a little bit.
It would be a lot
more awesome if you use
blades, but I won't. When Parker gets done, I want to add another one for somebody. As far as bold predictions, since I've been blessed with so many, I want to bless somebody else.
I'd like to use my excess.
Can I trade in one of my 120s for somebody else here? My taxidermy bill only allows three deer this year, so.
Listen, I'm glad y'all had the same faith that I had in Matt. Because last year was that was a rough year.
Yeah, team Chase and Tail was kicking butt last year.
Dadgum right, we did.
Ooh, we wore them out, son. We wore them out.
We'll get there.
We also had three.
Let's hear it, Parker. Okay, tell us Brett. What you got going on.
All right. So. I can't quite share all the states that I'm hunting.
Don't flex too hard now. Come on.
I mean, I kind of got a cool opportunity. No, I'm going to be traveling.
Don't be littleless.
I'm going to go travel with Tethered for the Tagged Out Tour, and I'll be producing that show this fall, which is going to be a whole lot of fun. I get to hunt a lot of states, but we're kind of keeping everything under wraps as much as we can. More than anything for the contestants, right? We just don't want them to really have a clue where we're hunting at. And so what I can share with you is that we're hunting a lot of really good states. And I will get more time to hunt, especially in that like September, October, November range in a lot of these other states, good deer states. Whereas usually during that time, I'm freaking pounding dirt in Alabama trying to find anything that even resembles buck sign. And usually just getting my teeth kicked in that whole early season and shooting a lot of does and stuff. So I'll have a little more opportunity, I think, there. Man, as far as a bold prediction, like I could make a bold prediction that I'll have an opportunity at the biggest buck of my life. Right.
Define that more. I mean, you're going to be like driving down the road and swerving like what?
No, dude, like I'll have the chance to shoot one with a bow.
Gotcha.
I'll have the chance to shoot one with a rifle. I feel confident of that. I feel confident of that because it's happened every freaking year, for multiple years. I mean, 3-4 years in a row, and just haven't capitalized.
Would that actually be bold?
Huh?
That's a good point. So
would that be a bold statement then?
Yeah.
Or
I do this every
statement.
Year, so I'm going to do it again this year. I mean, like...
Yeah, it's going to help you. honestly. Here's my bold prediction. I mean, it's not even a bold prediction. Here's my hiccup with the whole thing is that I've got to fix something about my shot. About my... buck fever, if you want to call it something, you know. And it's even while I'm shooting my bow in the yard, like,
really?
Yeah, it's even while I'm shooting my bow in the yard, I still have that, like, just like this. I'm working right now on just picking the spot and holding steady on that spot without shooting. But it is so weird, and it's only been within like the last 3 years, I would say, that I just freak out of my head, and it's like, what? And I don't even know what happens, right? Like, I just, it's bizarre. It's, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I'm just anticipating the shot too much, and I've got real bad issues there. Same thing with a rifle. I would say it's similar. I'm obviously a little better. It's it's an easier system to get good at, you know, or to be successful with. But I still
higher,
have
higher margin for error too, right? You got shoot a deer with a rifle, a joker's deader than dead.
Yes, absolutely. Last year I had it was a weird situation. I wouldn't even say it was necessarily a bad shot on my end. But I ended up hitting a deer a little bit too high with my rifle, and it made for a miserable day, but he died. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, we found him, he died, I got the deer. And that same shot with a bow was not going to be the same outcome. So, I guess bold prediction, like, okay, I'll shoot the biggest deer of my life, right? Like, that would be a bold prediction, because I know, I feel confident that I have the opportunity. But realistically, you know, I believe that I'll probably shoot 3 or 4 deer that are nice, you know, like, when I say nice, I don't mean like giant mega monsters, but I think I'll shoot 3 or 4 nice bucks this year. Just because I'll be able to hunt a lot, I'll be able to be out there a lot, and I'll be hunting good states for an extended period of time, which is going to be freaking cool.
Yeah. I wonder sometimes though, if you don't have like a mental block from things like not going right in the past, that you just need to like the next opportunity that you have and you actually connect and kill them. Like, I feel like from that point moving forward, you'll never have the problem again. Matt played a lot of baseball. You know what I'm talking about? Where it's like you get out of a rhythm and it's just hard to get back there, and it's hard to get back there. Then you find that rhythm slump, and then you're just cranking dingers.
Yep.
Yeah. My dad exactly always says I got the yips.
That's what your dad said?
He says you got the yips.
Oh.
What's old that from? School.
Baseball.
Is it from Caddyshack or something like that?
No. It's from baseball, man. That's just a thing.
Do you ever try to talk to yourself when you're at full draw?
Not much. No.
Try.
That might actually help a lot.
That's what helps me.
I have tried to come up with a shot process. Yeah, you know, Mark Kenyon talked a lot about it. I just keep
telling myself.
He, you know, Mark talked a lot about it, about his target panic, on the Wired to Hunt podcast. It was several years ago. And, he was talking about like just a shot regimen that he goes through, and he says certain things, and he does certain things, and he breathes a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to get that stuff figured out. I will say this. I had Jared McNeil, the guy who's setting up this bow that we're going to give away and all that. He's a great dude, and he really is like very smart with a bow. He knows what he's doing. And he was like, hey, you know, your form looks like you might could extend your draw length a little bit. So I ended up going up a full inch, actually, in my draw length from what I was shooting, because I feel like it was just a little bit short. And I wasn't fully extending. I wasn't able to get that left hand like fully extended out and to lock in place. And since I have done that, my time in the yard practicing and getting this new bow tuned and shooting, I just shot broadheads for the first time today. You know what? Like, I'm freaking ready to go. I know I'm ready to go at 30, and I've still got to get some of the distance stuff set up, but you know, so a lot of the problems that I've had in the past, I'm not having this year, so I'm thankful for it. But yeah, that's my bold prediction, I guess. And then my bold prediction for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to give Matt a bold prediction. I was going to bless him with one of those, but since he's found himself not wanting of more bold predictions.
I'll take whatever you want to give me.
I'll go with Brett since nobody's got you yet, Brett. I'm going to say that you will fulfill your goal of your 14 days of hunting and one good buck, but I don't think it's going to be in Alabama. I think it's going to be in Missouri. I think you pretty well. I watched that video as I was putting those final edits on it. And people who are listeners of Southern Ground, we did a fantasy hunter draft. Matt, when was that like?
Right before the season last year.
Was it right before season or right after? It was sometime around the season.
It was right after because I remember how I picked my people. Yeah, it was right after. Yep.
And I picked Brett Mashburn, and a lot of people probably didn't know who Brett was. But funny enough, he's here now. But I kind of watched the way that you hunted there. And I think the video that's going to drop that people can watch right now, you ended up killing a deer on day 9. And it was day 9 of all day 6. So a guy who's going to put himself in a place like Missouri and sit for 9 days straight all day, yeah, he's going to probably kill a buck every time he goes. I think he will. If you really are sitting, even if you just have an ounce of knowledge about deer, you're in Missouri during the rut and you're hunting in those thickets like that, dude, you're just going to see them. You're going to find them. So there's my bold prediction. I think you're going to kill another buck that's a nice buck like you have 3 other times in Missouri.
Parker, you were talking about getting your bow length adjusted. What bow are you shooting this year?
It's a Carbon 1 from Bowtech. And last year I shot the CP28 that we're giving away. And I've shot a, you know, that shorter draw length was pretty, or shorter axle. The axle was pretty attractive to me because I'm a short guy. And the effects of it are a lot less extravagant, I guess, whenever you're shorter. But this 30 inch, it's like perfect. It's like perfect for me and for my form and for my everything. This 30 inch Carbon 1 is just like, it's great. And you know what, dude, like I've been able to go up in draw length. And so
yeah,
that increases speed. Yep. I dropped the weight of my arrows a little bit. Actually I say a little bit, I dropped them about 100 grains. I'm still prioritizing FOC, but, with my short draw length and like, I'm already at a disadvantage for speed. And so I just said, you know what, it's almost 15% FOC, which is still pretty good. And they're 466 grains, I think, total arrow weight.
I think you and I have the same arrow setup.
It's going to be pretty close, I'll bet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shooting a 125 grain head with 70-ish grains on the front, I think.
Did you go with the M1 or the K1?
The M1.
Yeah. I think I went with the K1. I wanted a little more FOC, a little less arrow weight, I think. So maybe my arrow's a little longer, something like that. I'm excited, dude. Those arrows look gorgeous.
Your arrows are, if you got the K1, they're going to be lighter grain per inch.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Significantly lighter grains per inch.
Mm. And I know that's the case now because I'm at 16.6 FOC is what he said. So, yeah, I went to that FOC setup a couple years back and there's no looking back. Any chance I can optimize that.
Walter, you're referring to Kanadi arrows, right? Like,
yeah,
we've got to give these dudes a shout out.
Yeah.
That was one of the easiest, arrow building phases, I guess, that I've gone through mm-hmm. ever. Right. Like I always build my own and I'm bear shaft tuning in my shop and like getting everything and just, it's exhausting. It's freaking exhausting is what it is. And this year, just to time it in there, dude. And so these dudes at Kanadi Arrows, who are the same guys that do Zingers, the Zinger Fleshings, they're doing a thing where they'll build your whole arrow setup. Tell them your specs and they'll build it out for you. And it's worth the dang little bit of extra money that it costs to get it done. It's not even that much. Like you still get arrows, fletchings. Like they're just freaking going to town and building a really good arrow. So shout out to those guys, because that made that part of my setup a lot easier this year.
Yeah, and I'm coming up against crunch time. I still don't have my bow just yet. And so I was ordering components and trying to get them to Brett's house. And then I'm like, man, if Brett's wife were to go into labor a little early, you know, I'm going to be, you know, up a creek. So when you told me today it was a stressless arrow tuning setup for you on the bow, I was like, oh God, man, if it's just like that, then it's going to make the stress a lot easy, because I can just worry about getting reps in and get that joker dialed in out to, you know, 60, 70 yards, and we'll be off to the races.
Hey, speaking of bow, do we want to give away that bow real quick? Seems like a plenty random one.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Yeah.
I mean, are you good?
I'm good. I'm Gucci.
You good to do this thing? Let's give this thing away.
Let's rock.
I kind of did too, and that some guys are just dependent on this. They've been scrolling for
an hour trying to figure out what we're doing.
What we should do is put a pause in here and just go back to what we were talking about, because they think they found it, and then they back up a little bit, and they're like, Chris is going to be in the truck like, God dang it.
Oh, man. We are currently, right now, I wanted to wait until right at time to do this, to check this and make sure it's right at it. Yep, it's right at it. We are at perfectly 8,700 subscribers.
Wow.
Right now. Yep. Congrats, boys. That's awesome.
So what's our, out of curiosity, just derail this just a few more minutes. What's our goal? What do we want to hit by the end of the year so we can tell the listeners, so they can go and tell their friends to subscribe? We're trying to get to 15K at the end of the year?
And sure. I think that's a...
Yeah. I mean, after they see Brett's video, we're going to be at like 22, 23, so we should be fine, you know, but...
the biggest video that's ever hit this channel. The biggest buck.
Hands down, the best first solo film ever. I mean, like, first solo film ever. Does it get any better than that?
Right. No, dude, that's good. That's really good.
Chris is going to shoot me if I keep delaying.
So, we're at 8,700 subscribers. Right. That means we have 8,700 people that are signed up for this bow giveaway, because, I mean, really the only thing that we had to do, that you had to do to sign up for the giveaway, was just be a subscriber. And so there are some rules to this. Our Patreon members, if you are a member of the Meat Buck Patreon package, or whatever you want to call it, you get your name in the hat three times. And so Walter found the time today and made it and gave all of our Patreon members their numbers. And so you each have three numbers that belong to you if you're in the $5 Meat Buck tier. And if you are in the Shooter Buck tier, which is $10 a month, you get your name in the hat five times to win this bow. So the odds are pretty well in your favor if you're either one of those. I mean, three to five times is a significant amount.
Seriously. Yeah.
That's me. And so there's a lot of little variables here, but we're gonna do our best to draw a name. What we're gonna do is we're gonna draw one name. We're gonna use a random number generator. We're gonna draw one name. If Walter tells me that is in fact not a Patreon member, because we have assigned all the Patreon members numbers, if it's not, then I'm going to quickly and with haste, you could say, go find the number on our YouTube subscriber list that it does belong to, for the person it does belong to, and that person will have 5 days from the time this episode drops. So from August 1st, you'll have 5 days to claim it. We'll do our best to contact you any way we can, but at the end of the day, you're gonna have 5 days to do it. If not, we are also gonna draw five names, and we're gonna just go down the line. I guess five names altogether. So we'll draw four additional names, or until a Patreon, mm-hmm. or until
yeah.
If in that four, a Patreon person is named, we know we'll be able to get in contact with them, so we'll stop.
Yeah, we got a mailing address, so it's just going straight to their house. So it's yep. It's done at that point. So yep. I'm at the ready, buddy. I've got the list up.
All right. Well, then let's do this.
Giggity goo.
Here we go.
Come on.
All right. And on the third one, we have got 4,258.
4,258. Not a patron.
Not a patron. All right. Then I will quickly go find 4,000. What did I say it was? 4,258?
That's correct.
There could not be a more random number on the face of the earth.
I'm always fascinated by like how it picks it. Like it can't yep. truly be random, right? Like, I mean,
yep.
somebody's like, oh, work order, pick a random number. That one sends it.
I'm in the 4,000s now. I'm scrolling. I'm scrolling. 4,000. That's 50. 258? 258. All right, we're in it. Right. I have got a fellow by the name of Kurt Holmes. Kurt Holmes Woo! Is the winner.
Kurt Holmes. Congratulations. Kurt
Holmes is the winner.
Congrats.
Yep. Congrats, Kurt. I'm going to, I've got your YouTube channel or your profile pulled up right here. Do my best to get in contact with you, Kurt. And, if Kurt does not come forward, let's draw these other names so these guys got some.
Let's do it.
They can at least pray that Kurt does not come forward.
Chris, your number is 666, by the way.
All right, I got 4,442. These 4,000s are crushing it.
Nope. Keep going.
Not a Patreon winner.
Nope.
Okay, then I have to
keep going.
Let's see here. $1,069.
Finish strong. Not a Patreon member. Keep going.
My goodness.
Bated breath.
2,804.
2,084.
2,804.
2,804. Not a patron.
One last chance.
Last chance right here.
All right. 1,269.
Patreon winner.
Okay. Well, so.
Dead last.
Dead last. Got a Patreon winner.
All right.
Look at that. Kurt, man, I'm rooting for you. I really am. The Lord wanted you to have a new bow. So if Kurt does not come forward, then we've got 5 days. 5 days, Kurt. I'm gonna get at you.
August 6th.
To contact you. August 6th.
So let's go ahead, buddy.
No, I was gonna say like, that's not the last giveaway we have to talk about today.
Hey, what?
Yeah, so we go pretty hard at SoCo. We're the SoCo mofos. And so what we do is, J-Bo is so happy about that. We believe in giving back as much as possible, and we partner with some of the best brands out there. Greg called and's like, hey, we want to do something special for you guys. This thing isn't even out there yet. We're giving away a carbon fiber predator. I haven't even held this thing. Has anybody in this group actually held the carbon fiber predator?
I've never even seen it.
Sure, Parker has. Yeah, of course.
I have. They had it.
Tell us how great it is.
They had it at the at the Tethered Hangout. That was the 5-year anniversary. Oh, they had them out there, and yeah, they did sweet. I freaking love it, and I'm kind of like it's literally not out yet. And so whoever gets this is going to get something that, you know, you're going to have to wait on it for a minute until they at least come out, but you're going to be one of the first people to have one in your hands and will have not paid anything for it.
And I think the important shift is the bow was inclusive. the Predator is going to be inclusive. We, most of our giveaways are probably going to be geared pretty heavily towards the Patreon members, because they're the guys that are, like I said, financially supporting the show. So the same thing goes. Meat Buck gets 3 entries. Shooter Buck gets 5 entries. It's going to be a much smaller pot. We're just sitting at just sub 100 patrons. So your odds of going of winning this go up. And this is not even remotely the end of the giveaways. Parker and I were just talking with another company about doing a giveaway, actually 2 other companies. So the giveaways are just going to keep coming. We're going to keep saying thank you to you guys, because you guys are helping us make this a reality, helping us grow. And so if you want to be a part of that community, you heard it on the intro, but if you want to be a part of the first digital deer camp, to come to these Patreon hunts, which, by the way, I've got 3 spots left at the time of this recording. I've got 3 spots left. We only take 30 people. We want this to be kind of a close, tight knit feel. And it is every year. If we hit 30, I will create a wait list, and we can, you know, as cancellations inevitably occur, when I can't make it, 'cause my kid's sick, you can have my spot. And, yeah. So I just want to say thanks to everybody. This is huge. This is really big, and we've got some really huge plans, coming for you guys. So, Parker, tell them about what's going to be up on the website, though.
When this goes live. Yeah, I mean, we're going to have some shirts up there. The SoCo shirts. We're going to have some articles that are already written that we put up there, too. You know, I'm with building a community, and, like, especially in this hunting space, my goal at the end, like, whenever I was building this website, I wanted it to be a website that was basically like a billboard for a group of people. Right. And when I say that group, I don't mean us. I'm not talking about us four here. I'm talking about the group, right? Like, that's what we want to point everybody towards. We want everybody to be in there just because we think it's valuable. You know, like, there's an obvious desire for people to have that community and kind of have that deer camp feel. And I think we do a great job. I think we achieve that through what we've done with this Patreon. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're planning a hunt right now, planning a couple hunts for our Patreon group. Like, again, I just want to stress, like, we're not just trying to take people's money. Like, we really do feel like there's a lot of value to be had in this group. And at the end of the day, if you just want to win stuff and have better odds of winning stuff at a cheap price, like, we're going to go pretty hardcore on making sure it's worth your time. And then also, you mentioned the carbon fiber Predator. I'm super jacked up about that, but we've got Greg and Ernie coming on next week to talk with us about it, you know, and talk with us about what's going on with Tether. They released a ton of products in this off season, and new saddle,
lockdown stuff
coming from them. So
wheat too.
Yeah, and honestly, like, Greg was one of the very first guests I ever had on Southern Ground a long time ago. He was like episode 8 or 6 or something like that, and this was before Tether even started. So it feels appropriate, right, to have Tether be a huge part of this thing as well. So, yeah, and that was, I've said it before, I'll say it again, super excited about the future. I really, 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 truly hope that Matt can
live up to the expectations.
Yeah, not cave.
I may just disappear.
I'm hoping Matt doesn't cave under pressure when that first 102-inch deer walks out. And he's like,
"Oh, it'll get shot." no joke.
All right, real quick, rapid fire, unplanned, and then we're putting a pin in this damn episode because it's ran on. Over and under 15 deer killed, 15 bucks killed by this group. Over and under, Parker, you taking it?
Yeah, I think with this group, I'll say this, Brett, don't take this as an insult, because I don't mean it as an insult for you. I think me and Matt will kill 7 bucks combined. I think you could, Walt, if you had as much time as we do to hunt.
Oh yeah.
But me and Matt both have,
it would be big bucks, but
Matt don't have kids. Matt don't have kids. That and I don't even have to say anything else, honestly. Like, Matt don't have kids. That helps. And I don't have a boss. So
yeah,
other than my wife, so I can kind of make it happen. So you know, I think the rest, however you feel like you and Brett can fill in those numbers, that's up to you, baby.
I'm good for a good 4 or 5. Brett, you know, you're at me. Couldn't even get it out. I'm taking the under. Brett?
Under.
Matt?
Under.
All right. We're going to underperform this year, boys.
Is $15 considered underperforming?
For four of the best deer hunters in the South? Yeah.
Ever. No, for real.
No, don't put me in that.
One of them's not going to be in the woods.
Ah. All right, folks.
The other one's having a baby.
This.
Dang.
That one got me right on the tail end of a breath, man. I have you over here wheezing like diabetes, boy. And that's not a you reference. That's just like, I'm going to stop. Have you heard the diabetes guy laugh? He just wheezes like nonstop. So
I wheeze. I know I wheeze.
All right, folks, we have rambled our way through the first episode. They're only going to get worse from here. So we appreciate you tuning in. Next week is Greg. We've got a bunch of other stuff, and we're going to kind of tease it because we're able to plan these in advance. We're going to be able to tell you what's coming up down the pipe. And, I appreciate each and every one of you for sticking with us this long. Till next time, welcome to the fire.
Welcome to the fire.